Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey here, and Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us, 800-795-9565. Our email, Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And we invite you to subscribe to the Steve Jones Show podcast. Numbers continue to go up. We appreciate that very much. You can find us on both iTunes, Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. And you'll also find 3 months of shows archived on our podcast page at SteveJonesShow.com. We'll be talking Eagles football this afternoon at 3:35. Reuben Frank from NBC Sports Philadelphia. We'll check in. And looking ahead to tomorrow, Matt Fortuna, the national college football writer from The Athletic, will be joining us. We'll get a recap of the national championship game from Monday night with Matt on tomorrow's show. And, of course, Kevin Jones with our picks.
Yeah.
To close out the week.
Playoff time. Got 4 big games this weekend. Steelers routing Jacksonville. That will be non-competitive. Patriots over Tennessee. Non-competitive. 2 competitive NFC games. You get nervous every time I refer to the Steelers-Jacksonville game as non-competitive.
Although I woke up this morning, I got a little concerned. It had nothing to do with what you mentioned on yesterday's show, but there are a couple of reports out that both Artie Burns and Stephon Tuitt were injured in practice yesterday. Artie claims he's going to be okay.
No offense. I'm not a big Artie Burns guy.
Yeah.
I am not.
I'm waiting for the I'm waiting for the light bulb to turn on.
Not happening, dog.
Mm.
Not happening. He is a great athlete playing football. I don't think he's a football player.
Latest information a few seconds ago from our friend of the show, Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Stephon Tuitt did not practice today. Said he expects to practice tomorrow and will play Sunday against Jacksonville. Turns out yesterday in practice he tweaked his elbow when he reached out his arm and got hit.
He'll live. Throw some tape on it.
Yep.
We're good. Yeah, that's I'm telling you, they're going to crush this team. They are going to crush this team. The suit's in the hallway pacing back and forth now. It's unbelievable. You guys just,
One thing that has me more confident going into Sunday outside of those 2 injuries I mentioned to you from practice yesterday. Jacksonville's running game is pretty much now non-existent after that flying white-hot start that Leonard Fournette had in the early part of the season.
Well, Fournette is a pretty good running back. The problem is Bortles is not good enough to win this game. He's not. Your guy is. Your guy has won Super Bowls. Game managed one and then flat out won the other one. I know. You hate when I mention he game managed, but that's what he was early in his career.
Oh, he was, for sure. He was. That doesn't ruffle my feathers at all.
Thank goodness they had Willie Parker, because 3.9 yards a carry weren't going to get it done. Sue hates when I do that.
Oh, he sure does. Hey, speaking of Mr. 3.9, Jerome Bettis, he and Ben will have something in common starting a little over a year from now. Ben is going to be opening up a restaurant in Pittsburgh and call it North Shore 7. And that word came out of Pittsburgh this morning.
Will you go and eat there?
I will.
Really?
Sure.
What if Ben's cooking?
Well, he may have an apron on, wiping down the bar and saying to people, "Hey, how are you?" You know,
that's what you're hoping for.
Sure,
you're hoping he kind of like walks by and says, "Hey, how are you? Heard the show, love it."
But according to a story out this morning, his restaurant will have outdoor dining looking out to the Allegheny River.
Ooh, that is nice. It's amazing. When you get some cash, you can get some prime property.
Mm-hmm.
That's so pretty good.
I think he already owns at least 2-3 restaurants down south. I think one's in Georgia. Well, he has property in Georgia. So
one's called McRoethlberger.
Was that it?
No.
So we'll see what people say. What are they going to name it? Roethlisburgers? You know, kind of like Wahlburgers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this will be they're going to call it North Shore 7. So it'll be.
Upscale?
It didn't sound like upscale. It sounded very similar menu-wise to Jerome's restaurant and to Heinz Ward's restaurant, which is located north of Pittsburgh, right off I-79.
What would the menus be on that?
I've been to Heinz's restaurant twice, and it has mostly like butcher block burgers, wings.
Oh, like a lot of American cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
Although one of my favorites, my go-to now at Heinz's restaurant, which is called Table 86, it's like an Asian zing, Asian zing boneless wings. Not teriyaki, like Asian zing kind of flavor. They're really good.
Hot?
No, not hot at all.
Oh, okay.
No.
Wow. Pretty good.
Yeah, not sure if we'll end up there this weekend or not.
But that's one of your go-to places.
Yes. Hmm. Yeah, not too far off of I-79, and actually it's not far down the road from the Pittsburgh Penguins practice facility. Okay. Off 79, yeah.
And you haven't been to Jerome's place?
I've been there once or twice. I've been there once. And that was last time I was in there was 3 years ago.
Same kind of cuisine or?
Almost, yeah.
Like sports barish? Are they sports barish kind of places?
I wouldn't call them sports barish. I know Heinz's place is not. But it's not upscale.
Hmm. Okay.
And actually, for people that love wine, there's actually a wine bar also at Heinz's place next door to the restaurant.
Yes. Oh, now.
A little vino would be kino.
Very nice. Maybe you and I should go to a game sometime. We go to Ben's place. What do you think?
To be honest with you,
Deb votes no. He can't go.
Okay, oh, she would never say that.
At least I asked about her when she was down instead of, you know.
More than once.
I was in the hospital.
More than once.
I had surgery.
Speaking of running into someone, you never guess who passed me by on the highway this morning on the way to work.
Suit was late again?
No. Roger Corey.
Oh, you know what? They had meetings today in Sealands Grove.
Okay.
Yeah. They had meetings in Sealands Grove today.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know if Korsman's doing the show tonight. So, it's Wesk Lawn tonight. The fencing coach, Patrick Chambers, will be on tonight. Fencing, of course, which has won 16 national championships, 13 NCAA ones.
I got to think, what's Rog doing this down this way? Maybe he's on his way to the farm show or something. But no, if he would have gone to the farm show, he would have took 322 down.
I can assure you in no uncertain terms. He's never been to the farm.
I wasn't sure if it was radio related. If he, you know, didn't know.
Even then, he'd develop a cough. I don't think I can go. I told you the Jan Jagla story, right?
Yes.
Yeah, about he couldn't practice one day, and Ed looks at him, he says, "What's your problem, pet dander?" And Ed said, like, "No, really, what's your problem?" He says, "Pet dander. The circus had been in the night before. Jan Jagla couldn't practice because of animals." Andy Katz wants me on his podcast on Monday.
Okay.
And they said, "Do you have any guys?" I said, "Oh, believe me, I got a couple good stories."
It's been great seeing him on Big Ten Network. He's been popping up there from time to time.
Yeah, he should be. He should be on. Andy just operates on facts. Last year when they were doing the layoff thing, they laid off so many really good people.
Oh, and he was one of the first ones you brought up.
Oh, absolutely. Andy. Obviously, Dana O'Neill. I mean, John Clayton. I mean, they took like some of the legit hooked in people, Ed Werder, and they cast them aside. Oh, but they kept the first take, guys. All right, so if you can yell at each other, you've got a spot. If you got some legitimate backbone to you, we'll have to debate whether you stay or not. You had some chops. Chops? Nah, we don't need chops. You know, except for NBA stuff. What stories do they break? I mean, they broke the Gruden story, but I hope so. He works for them. He had to tell HR at some point he might not be there on Tuesday. Not gonna show up, man. I mean, really, what stories do they break? What baseball stories are they breaking? What hockey stories do they break? They break NBA stories, but like that's their bag now. Schefter does some. But all the people, the vast majority of people that had some real legitimate journalistic chops like Andy Katz aren't there anymore. Makes a big difference.
ESPN reporting LeBron not yet thinking of retirement. That's good to know.
Stunning. We'll come back with more in a moment. I hope that whomever broke that story gets a raise. Here on as we continue more, let's see. We got Matt Fortuna tomorrow, brother tomorrow. Let's see. We got, who do I have today?
We've got Ruben Frank at 3:35.
Ruben Frank. Yeah, we'll talk to him about the Eagles. Number one seed at home, number six seed opposition, underdog. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Ruben Frank in the next half hour. We'll talk about the Eagles. Like a lot of people don't really give them a big chance here of winning because of the quarterback situation. So we will see. Now, there's a formula for them to win, and part of that formula is Jay Ajayi, no question. Part of that formula to win is Nick Foles being efficient. And a big part of that formula is a defense that slows down, if not shuts down, Atlanta. Atlanta has not been the smooth offensive machine that they were last year. They have not. And let's not pretend that they have been. They have not been. And that is that's an important part of this. In fact, I'll tell you an area. You want to know an area where Atlanta has really struggled this year? Dropped passes. And the guy that's been hit by an epidemic of dropped passes is a guy who had a problem with dropped passes in college. That's Julio Jones. I remember doing the Penn State-Alabama game in 2010, and that was part of what we talked about in the pregame. We were talking about Greg McElroy, what McElroy could do, and so forth. But then we started talking about what a great gifted receiver Julio Jones happen to be. But part of it was is that they were waiting for him to somehow, Nick Saban was waiting for him to somehow get consistent because he was dropping too many passes. Well, once he got to the NFL, to his credit, he kind of solved that. And now, for whatever reason, he has struggled this year of being consistent catching the ball because once he catches it, he's dynamic. I'll be honest with you. You look at the Super Bowl last year, and everything's about, and justifiably, how great the Patriots' comeback happened to be. But if you think back in that game, Julio Jones was great in that game. He made some phenomenal catches. I think the running game for Atlanta is pretty good. I think the defense for Atlanta is now a little bit better. Now they got Vic Beasley settled back in being a pass rusher. But the Eagles are going to have to do a good job because, look, the Eagles' corners are still not great. They've been able to cover up for their corner play this year because of the pressure they've been able to put on in other areas. I mean, when you're jumping for joy that you've got Ronald Darby back, that does tell you something. But the weather's going to be colder in Philadelphia, so you get the Falcons outdoors on a cold evening. Because it's as the game goes on Saturday, it's going to get colder and colder. By the time you get around to the Steeler game on Sunday, when Jacksonville gets shut out, I'm making you nervous with every comment.
No, not at all.
I mean, if this were the suit.
Oh, forget about it. You kidding me?
I mean, he's a basket case now. I mean,
He'd be hyperventilating in a brown paper bag right now. You kidding me?
I mean, last year for Christmas, I bought him a bag of paper bags. and the company wrote it off as health care.
Right. They're still over in the office.
Here, just breathe into this. They just said no to me again on digital media. Okay, breathe. It's not funny.
It's early. It's still January.
It's funny because last year he said it's still early. It's August.
His most favorite month of the year.
Doesn't he go on vacation in August?
Yes. On the first day of football season.
that's our favorite time of the year.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Off to Philadelphia we go. The outstanding Reuben Frank joining us. Reuben, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, great to be here. How you doing?
Doing really well. Rare when a number one seed at home opens the playoffs as an underdog to a number six seed. What is your initial view of this game on Saturday?
Well, obviously the Eagles are a different team without Carson Wentz, but I mean they still have a formidable defense. They still run the ball. They stop the run. They're a good team, whether Nick Foles or Carson Wentz is a quarterback. It's just when you're facing a good team, you don't have a big margin of error. So Nick Foles has to just be good, manage the game, not make mistakes, not beat you, and I think they'll be okay. The problem is he hasn't been that good the last couple of weeks, so. Really, it's going to come down to Nick. Can he make some throws down the field? Can he take the pressure off so the running game can work? Can he get a couple chunk plays? Because I think the defense and the running game could do the rest. He doesn't have to be great. He just has to be okay and not get yourself beat. And I think he can do that.
It was 2 weeks ago, and they played Dallas. I could care less about that game. That to me was like the fourth preseason game of the year. But it was the week before when they played Oakland, when they had everything on the right. Yeah, they won the game, but they didn't play great. How concerning was that game watching that? Because Oakland's not a great team.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say it was concerning. I mean, they won the game. They did what they had to. They're not all going to be pretty. You know, they'd won 9 in a row by an average of 17 points. It's just not going to happen every week. And the Raiders are a talented, what are they, 13-3 last year, and they have mainly the same guys. And they came in and they played hard, and they were well coached by the former coach now. And it was one of those things. They did enough to win, and they made plays at the end. And, you know, I think when you start worrying about style points and how much you win by and how ugly or how pretty it was, you know, to me, that stuff doesn't matter. They found ways to win and get that number one seed and get some rest for some guys.
How have you felt about their corner play?
The Eagles' cornerback play?
Yeah, the Eagles' corner play, C-O-R-N-E-R.
Yeah, they have such an impressive stable of young cornerbacks, and Jalen Mills has been really solid and gives up a couple big plays, but like a lot of young cornerbacks, Rasul Douglas has been really good as a rookie. I think 3 interceptions. Sidney Jones, who's 21, started playing second round pick, started playing last week and has a chance to play in the postseason. And you know, Patrick Robinson has been kind of reborn as a slot guy, and he's had like his best career year. So it's an interesting group of guys. They a lot of takeaways, a lot of interceptions. They're ball hawks. Don't give up all that many big plays, and they play well together. But, you know, again, it's always going to be pass rush. If the pass rush is there, these corners are going to look great against Julio Jones and the Falcons and Sanu and those guys. If they don't get the pressure, there's going to be a lot of pressure on those corners.
You've had a chance, obviously, to really watch the career of Fletcher Cox. Can you put in perspective what you've watched over the years and how truly good he is?
Yeah, he's, you know, and I covered Reggie White and Jerome Brown and those guys, and he's right up there. I mean, he is that good. He is so disruptive, and he's one of those guys that the stats are never going to really measure what he does, the double teams that he takes, and the, you know, the plays that just by absorbing so many double teams, he's just going to leave Vinnie Curry open or Brandon Graham open or Tim Jernigan. So he's just so consistent, so solid, so disruptive in there. And he's a force against the run, too. I mean, he's one of those rare two-way guys who can get to the quarterback, take on a double team, and he can stop the run. I think he's as good as any defensive tackle in the league right now.
You've also had a chance now to watch Jay Ajayi up close. It's one thing to hear about him or see highlights of him when he's with the Dolphins. Now that you've actually seen him and had a sample size of him as an Eagle, what do you like about him, and are there any concerns about him from your point of view, Ruben?
Well, the concerns are the fumbling, and that's been something that's dogged him his whole career, and you can't afford to do that in a playoff game. You can't put the ball down, especially, you know, deep in your own end. So that's the concern. He's so talented. He kind of reminds you of Tiki early in his career before he solved that fumbling issue. He's just so talented and sees the hole so well. He's explosive. He's strong. He's fast. He can, you know, he can hit a hole and go, or he can drag a linebacker an extra 4 or 5 yards and get a first down. So I really believe he's going to be a centerpiece of the offense on Saturday. I think the most carries he had during the regular season was 15, I think, against the Raiders. He'll have more than that. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 20 carries. But Garrett Blunt's had a nice year, and Corey Clement, it's been a nice rotation, but it's time for Jay Ajayi. This is why they brought him here. You know, he had 135 yards against the Falcons earlier this year for the Dolphins. So we know he can run against the Falcons. With this offensive line, they're healthy, they're rested. I think the holes will be there. I think Jay Ajayi is going to have a big game. And the other thing about him is they're starting to use him in the screen game. It's something he really didn't do much of in Miami, but he's got a real flair for the passing game, and I think you'll see them throw to him a few times, and I think they had a big touchdown against the Raiders thrown to Jay, and I think you'll see a lot more of that on Saturday.
2 years now watching Doug Peterson. Now, obviously, a lot of the play calling was for Carson Wentz, but he's done most of it. What kind of feel do you think he has now as a head coach?
Oh, I've been really impressed with Doug, and you never really know how someone's going to respond to that job. He's never been a head coach except in high school, which is kind of crazy. So I think he's got a real feel for communicating with the players. They love him, and I think any deficiencies he has, as a play caller, sometimes you kind of shake your head at his fourth down decisions and some of that stuff. He really makes up for that with getting these guys to play hard all the time, practice well. He's really created, it's kind of a trite phrase, I guess it's cliche talking about culture, but he's really built a culture where guys want to be part of this, and they've kind of put their own egos and their own stats aside. You have guys like Alshon Jeffrey and LeGarrette Blount who've been, you know, top guys in the league, and they're, you know, they're rotational guys now, and they're not going to have big numbers, and they're accepting that, and they're fine with it because the team's winning, and everybody's sharing the success, and that makes you a more dangerous team. So as long as you're winning, that works. So I think Doug's done a great job of kind of building that culture and making this a place where people want to be and want to play. And I think to overcome losing Carson Wentz and finish that game, and they were losing when Nick Foles entered the game, they were down, and they won that game out in L.A. You're 4,000 miles away from home, and you win that game over a good team on the road. Then you find a way to beat the Giants, and then you find a way to beat the Raiders and get that number one seed without Carson Wentz. That's a resilient team right there. It's a well-coached team. Because a lot of teams, you lose your franchise, you know, you're going to go in the tank, and they did the opposite. So I think that speaks volumes about Doug.
What surprised, let's take it back to August. What ended up surprising you about this team that stayed as a constant, pleasant surprise all year?
I think the secondary play, you asked about the cornerbacks, and they're just so young. Patrick Robinson's a guy who was on the brink of getting cut in training camp, and you have a core of D-backs, cornerbacks, who are 21, 22, 23, and the growth that they all showed, and a lot of that credit goes to Corey Unlin, the secondary coach, who's just a really good hands-on teacher technique. But for those cornerbacks to grow the way they did and play together and perform the way they did, to me that was the biggest surprise. I thought they had potential over the next couple of years to be a really solid group, but I didn't think it would happen this fast.
Any disappointment along the way that you thought could be a strength but didn't end up being a strength?
Boy, you know, you go 13-2, and you lose at Seattle and at Kansas City. Those, you know, two really hard places to play. I mean, they didn't have a bad loss. They were really solid in every category. They made up for. You lose Jason Peters and Darren Sproles and, you know, Wentz and Marigo. You lose a lot of starters and. You know, just kind of keep the thing rolling. I wouldn't say there's any one aspect I was disappointed with. If I had to pick one, I would say pass pressure over the last 5-6 weeks hasn't been as dominating as it was earlier in the year. And the same thing happened last year, so that's something they have to kind of figure out why they're not getting the quarterback later in the season. Is it are they tired? Are they hurt? But obviously they need pressure on Matt Ryan. So I would say that's one thing to keep an eye on, but there's really nothing as far as a position group or anything like that I would say has been disappointing.
You and I both know that this is about matchups at this level. When you look at Atlanta, A, how impressed were you by what they did with the Rams last week, and is there a matchup you're going to really key on?
Yeah, it was a good win for them, and I kind of felt like the Rams were just a little overrated. I started reading these stories about Sean McVay being the greatest this and that. They're comparing him to Belichick. And, you know, really, they're comparing him to Belichick. It's like, win something first.
Exactly.
So, I picked the Falcons to win that game. I wasn't surprised. I think they're real well coached. They got a veteran quarterback. I think this is the time where veteran quarterbacks kind of have a real edge, and you kind of start to see guys like Case Keenum or, you know, Jared Goff or whoever struggle. But, I mean, to me, the two matchups that I'm looking at are, I mean, Julio Jones versus this young group of corners, and they did play Julio last year. You know, the Eagles beat the Falcons last year up here. And then they have two really good running backs, and the Eagles' run defense has not been quite as good the last few weeks as it was early in the year. And I know the Falcons are going to want to come up and try to establish the run, and you know, they have two good backs, and that's going to be a big challenge. So, to me, you know, those are the key matchups, and I think the Eagles will score their 17 points, and if they can hold the Falcons to 16 or fewer, they win the game.
You and I have been around the block a few times in our life. When we start hearing comparisons of a young guy to somebody that's done so much, you and I both end up laughing at such things.
Right.
Ruben, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Okay, anytime. Enjoy the game Saturday.
Hey, you too. Thanks.
right.
Reuben Frank, NBC Sports in Philadelphia. Always great to talk with him. Great interview, great insight. Glad to be with and have him on the show today. All right. Coming back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
In 103 years, there's been many firsts at Sunbury Motors Ford.
But never one like this.
SMC is selling vehicles for half price. You heard right. Sunbury Motors Ford is taking up to $15,007 off their remaining 2017 vehicles. That's a savings of up to 53%. SMC is serious about moving 67 2017 cars, SUVs, and trucks. They're slashing the price on 2017 F-150s up to $14,500. Take a whopping $8,000 off all remaining 2017 Ford Escapes. Take $7,000 off all remaining 2017 Ford Edges and Explorers. Lease a 2017 Ford C-Max Energy for only $179 a month for 24 months with zero down. That's zilch, nothing, nada. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury,
to be one of 67 lucky people to save 53% on your next new vehicle.
All right, Matt Fortuna on the show tomorrow. Talk with Tyler Smith tomorrow as well on his book, Call for Traveling. Hear from him tomorrow, and my brother tomorrow with picks. So we're looking forward to that coming up on tomorrow's show. All right. All right, thanks to Reuben Frank for being on today, talking about the Eagles. You can tell they're not buying into all the Falcon talk. Could you tell that right away? And Sean, I mean, you could tell right away. I mean, I didn't talk about the Falcons right away, but you could kind of tell that they're underdogs. Come on, I watched this team all year. We're better than that. I mean, that's the impression I got.
Yeah, me too. Jay Ajayi. Yeah, it was great that Reuben brought his name up to the forefront. That's going to be a big key, especially as you'd mentioned with the weather. I mean, it's going to be a lot warmer tailgating Saturday morning into early afternoon compared to when they're going to kick at 4:40.
Yeah, and that's actually going to be an issue because today obviously is really nice. It's 57 degrees here right now. And tomorrow it's going to be raining all day, but it's going to be warm. It's not going to be one of those cold days. I mean, let's see. Right now they said it's 54 here tomorrow, 54 here today at the moment, 55 tomorrow with rain. But see, then you get Saturday. With Saturday, everything changes. I'm talking about here. It's going to be maybe a little warmer in Philadelphia, but the high here on Saturday is 27. That's the high. And what are you going to add? 5 degrees to Philadelphia, maybe? Maybe? But you got to remember, too, the game is, what, 4:30? It's a 4:30 game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, so let's just take here, for example. So let's get to 4 o'clock on, in State College, obviously not Selins Grove, but 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. The high temperature is going to be 19 at 4 o'clock. Temperature is going to be 19 Saturday at 4 o'clock here. Game's going to go until 7 o'clock. Well, it's going to be 15 degrees here. Now, I know Matt Ryan grew up in it. I can tell you right now, Julio Jones didn't. Okay? Matt Ryan grew up in it. But just because you grew up in it doesn't mean you're used to it either. Because he's played in Atlanta for a long time now. And he's always played in dome stadiums, dome conditions, and things like that. I'd like to know what his outdoor numbers happen to be.
I was listening to an interview from a beat reporter from the Jacksonville Jaguars who grew up in the Dakotas. But still, even though spent several years way, way up north, still not used to that cold of weather. So it makes you wonder how cold it's going to get Sunday in Pittsburgh. Like last year when they had the playoff game with the Dolphins.
They're going to kill that team.
They should.
They might shut them out.
They should at least knock them out by 20 points, at least, I would think.
I mean, you and Deb better dress warm.
Oh, we will. I'll have at least four layers for sure.
Well, Deb's tougher, probably two.
Even though we have club access, I will tell you this, and she would tell you this as well. In no uncertain terms, I paid a lot of money for this ticket. I'm sitting out here watching it.
Wow.
That's her. She has said that before, and she's made that very clear.
As opposed to taking somebody else to the game who would say, I'm going to see if I get some autographs. There should be a lot of interesting people up here in the suites. I'll bet, sport. It's not funny.
Not suite access down in the club. Maybe we'll hit the suites by the time I turn 60, so we'll see. I'm still moving on up, just not that far up yet.
you're getting it. I mean, really, this show's really changed your profile.
It has. Okay. It has. Best 2 hours of my day. You know that.
Oh, God. It's changed your profile completely.
It has.
I mean, now you're getting club seats. maybe not. You're talking. Well, let's check Sunday then. Sunday's not going to be. I don't think it's getting any warmer here. Let's see here.
I'm seeing a high temperature for Pittsburgh on Sunday, 16.
Well, man, I'm talking about kickoff. Like a kickoff temperature here is going to be 19, falling to 15 during the game. But that's here. It's not in Philly. Kickoff, 1 o'clock, 14. Whew. Like to reconsider that club area? just now, like right until kickoff?
I've already got a plan in place to run in, grab some grub, and then be outside for halftime, because club at halftime, you kidding? That'll be elbow to elbow. I'm not going to deal with that.
Yes, but they have warmth.
Yes.
You don't mind me pointing that out, do you? It's going to be a warm day.
But, yeah, you brought up you and club. I going to a game. Steelers-Giants, next time they play, I think we need to make that happen.
Yeah, we could think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. Could definitely think about that. You know. Or, yeah, I'm sure Deb doesn't want to see the Browns again.
I don't think we've seen the Browns. No, we've seen Cincinnati play.
You've never
twice.
Seen the Browns?
No, we've never gone to a Browns game. No, haven't done that. We've seen Cincinnati play twice. I've seen Baltimore play two times, three times. I'm trying to hit as many different ones as I can, like the Vikings. Sure. We were out at Steelers-Vikings when Brett Favre was with the Vikings at the time, so that was 09.
Okay.
Let's see. What other ones? 49ers, Chiefs. So we've had a nice little mix.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah. Browns is like,
wow.
Scoff at the Brownies.
Why?
Like, nah, we'll stay at home for that one. But it seems like every year the home game is the last game of the year, you know, and they're resting everybody. So that's had a lot to do with it.
That's true.
But of all the games I have easy access to possibly getting tickets for Heinz Field, yeah, it's Steelers-Browns.
Plenty available.
That's right.
I mean, not even the Browns fans want to go.
Next year, too.
Awful.
Step right up.
All right. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.